for Bridge of Hope and for the work here in Franklin County. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to serve single moms in our community. And Father, we ask that you would meet the need that is present with the volunteers that you touch with your hand. Father, speak to us, and thank you for Roxanne sharing with us today. We ask that you would bless her and her ministry through Bridge of Hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you all. Haven't seen you all for a week. Rosemary and I spent some time out in Nebraska with our family out there. And we had a hectic week, okay? I don't know what your week has been, okay? Maybe it's been just a standard week. Maybe it's been a down week. Maybe it's been a week of Thanksgiving where you had a lot of time to spend just thinking about things. I had no time to think this week. We were helping my son, who owns a locker in Nebraska, and they finished up their deer season, and so he had about, I don't know how many deer he had hanging, but I know how many we did. We did a lot of deer in the last 4.5 days, and so it was long days and very little sleep, and so I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I wonder how many other people had weeks like that. Weeks that were just kind of different than normal. And I just want to encourage you that the Lord is with you. He's here today. I appreciated those songs this morning because they spoke to my heart. It was just kind of my time to kind of bring everything down to where we're at. And so I just want to start with that because I just want you to know that we're asking the Lord to speak this morning here among us. So we are finishing up. What does Jesus believe? And based upon the things that he taught us, the red letters in our Bible, so to speak. And so as we go through this today, this is actually part two of our series, actually of the future in chapter 13. But before we go into that, into chapter 13, in fact, you can turn in your Bibles to Mark, the 13th chapter. We've been talking about this idea that Jesus believed these things, and these were the king's values. These were the things that Jesus thought were important for his disciples to know. That suffering precedes glory, that servants are the number one person in the kingdom, that faith is the foundation of that kingdom. We saw that prayer, our prayer shows dependence upon God, that forgiveness comes before fruitfulness, and that giving is not about money, it's about our hearts. And then we learned last week that in the future, the gospel is the message of the kingdom. Actually, it's the message today, and it will be the message of that time as well. And so today, we're moving into this idea of the future being something that we need to be alert about. But we're talking about this thing right here. We're talking about this temple. Last week, we saw them come out of the temple and walk over to the Mount of Olives. And he's continuing his teaching on the Mount of Olives as he's looking at this magnificent temple. And he had just told his disciples that there not one stone is going to be left upon another in this temple in the coming years. Last week I said to you that it was in 70 AD that Antiochus Epiphanes broke this temple down, and I'm wrong, okay? And one of our brothers sent me an email, says, I think that Antiochus Epiphanes died in 167 B.C., or thereabouts, okay? Well, that's true, okay? He was right on the money. Antiochus Epiphanes did defile the temple in 167 B.C., okay? But they didn't destroy it at that point. He defiled it. And then we also know that temple was actually destroyed in 70 A.D. That was true, okay? So I'm just telling you, it wasn't Antiochus Epiphanes. It was Titus who destroyed the temple, a Roman Caesar named Titus. And so the temple was gone, and actually, there has never been a temple built there since. So just keep that in your back of your head here. There's no temple for the Jewish people to make their sacrifices in. So Jesus is talking about these things, and his disciples asked him the question, so when is all this going to happen? And so he's describing this to them. And so I want you to take your Bibles, and we're going to read from verse 14 to verse 21 to start with this morning. We're going to finish this chapter out. But in order to get you into this scene where we're at, because I had to do this morning because it had been a long week, okay? And so now I had to get back into the Word, and so this is what it says. The day is coming when you will see the sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing where he should not be. And then there's a parenthesis that says, reader, pay attention. May I say that to you? Reader, pay attention to this statement. When that happens, then those in Judea should flee to the hills, and a person on the deck of the roof must not go back down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not even go to get a coat. How terrible it will be for pregnant women, for those nursing mothers in those days. And pray that your flight will not be in winter. For there will be greater anguish in those days than at any time since God created the world. And it will never be so great again. In fact, unless the Lord shorten the time of calamity, not a single person will survive. But for the sake of God's chosen ones, he has shortened these days. What is Jesus saying? Well, I think this is what Jesus is saying. Be ready for this day. That's what he says when he says, reader, pay attention. He said, this is the day. When you see this day coming, you will see the sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing where it should not be. And then he says, reader, pay attention. This is Jesus saying this. He says, this is a warning to everyone who reads this. Now, remember, he's talking to Jewish people specifically. But we saw last week that the same warnings given to the Jews were given to the Christian church in the letters of Paul, in 1 Thessalonians and 1 and 2 Timothy. So the same warning goes to all of us because it's a statement of be aware, be ready, open up your eyes. Now, what is he talking about here? If we have to pay attention to this, what is he talking about? Well, this statement comes out of the book of Daniel. And this is what Daniel wrote in a prophetic declaration thousands of years before Jesus made his statement. And this is what he said. A ruler will make a treaty with the people for a period of one set of seven. That's one set of 7 years. So 7 years. But after half of this time, which would mean 3.5 years, he will put an end to the sacrifices and offerings, and as a climax to all his terrible deeds, he will set up a sacrilegious object that causes desecration upon the fate decreed of this defiler is finally poured out on him. That's a lot of words. Essentially, what this is saying is this. There will be a man, a God-man, so to speak, who is going to make a treaty with the people. That's with the world for a period of 7 years. Okay? Now, to help you understand this a little bit, I have this little diagram here, and we're going to keep expanding on this diagram throughout the day. And I want to try to make this as simple as possible, because if Jesus says there's a warning, here's the warning. You need to understand that, first of all, there is no temple. So if there's no temple, how can you set up a sacrilegious object in the Holy of Holies? You can't do it. So what's the first thing you should be looking for? A temple. When you see the temple being rebuilt, okay, you better perk up your ears, okay? You better take warning. You better get ready, all right? Now, this particular slide here just shows you this time period where we can say that from right here, and I would call this is about where we're at right now. That's my perspective. It's not written in stone, and I could be wrong. Probably I'm wrong, okay? But there's a period of 7 years in here that's split in the center right here with this desecration of the temple. That means that the temple has to be rebuilt someplace in this space right in here, okay? And there is a time, I believe, right about here where you're going to see this man, and I'm going to call him Antichrist, based upon my study of the prophetic statements. Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to make a peace treaty with the many. Now, most people believe the many to be Israel and the whole world. So there's going to be peace and security on this world. So I'm just going to jump back to where we read last week. And this is in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Listen to what Paul says to us. Now, concerning how and when this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, exactly the same thing the disciples were asking, We don't need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come quite unexpectedly, like a thief in the night, when people are saying everything is peaceful and secure. What does that sound like? It sounds like a peace treaty. May I ask you what you've been hearing about the Middle East and about our President Trump and things like that? What's he talking about? He's talking about a peace treaty. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying he is anything in this, okay? I don't know what he stands for. But I do say that when you start to hear about peace treaties in the Middle East, and if they can ever get one signed, okay, and there actually is peace across this world, okay, you better be perking up your ears for listening. So Jesus says, beware when you see this day. When you have this day come into your forefront, when it starts to make sense to you. This is what he says. The day is coming when you will see the sacrilegious object of causes desecration standing where it should not be. 3.5 years into this, what we call the tribulation. Beware. Be ready. He goes on, he says, I want you to be warned. And here, Jesus says these words. When you see this happen, when you see this object placed in the Holy of Holies of the Jewish temple, which is now rebuilt, where there's a peace all around us, at 3.5 year mark of this tribulation time, he says, at that point of 3.5 years in, he says, if anyone tells you, look, here is a Messiah and there he is, don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise and perform signs and wonders so as to deceive, even if possible, even God's chosen ones. And then he says, watch out. I have warned you about this ahead of time. Any person who has ever read this or heard this has been warned. You count yourself warned right now. You have been warned about this. Now, I personally don't think you're going to see this, all right? I think you're going to be raptured ahead of this. But I will say this. I also believe that if I see this, I know that I was wrong. Okay? And that the rapture's still coming. Okay? And the reason I say that is because there are good men who believe on a pre-tribulational rapture. There are good men who believe, good godly men and women who believe in a mid-tribulational rapture. There's good godly men that believe in a pre-wrath rapture. There's good godly men that believe in a post-tribulational rapture. So what do you do with all this? And most people just say, oh, I don't care. And I would say, I warn you against not caring. Okay? I warn you because Jesus warns us. He says, you need to understand. And today I'm going to try and give you some very simple things that you can watch for. So the first one is the rebuilding of the temple. Okay? The second one is going to be, or vice versa, a peace treaty that goes worldwide, where we stop wars, a peace treaty with the many. So he's making a warning to us. Do this. So I'm going to throw this up to you. And so this is a lot of stuff on this particular slide, but you can see that I've already kind of added to what was there, okay? So we had this section right in here before, and now we've just added to it. So if I were to lay out a timeline for what we have seen in the last 2,000 years, this is the coming of Jesus. This is the first advent of Jesus' birth right here. Okay? If we go from there, we go to the time when Jesus died, and then he was resurrected. Jesus rejects, or the Israel rejects it, and we've been seeing that in Mark, how the church of Jews rejected Israel. And then we see Jesus' ascension. And then in Acts 2, we see the beginning of something called the church. God's called out ones. That's you and I. It's a mystery. It was never seen before. But God gave Paul this mystery. And it is that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be proclaimed to the nations. Not just the Jewish people, but to those who are Gentile people. And so this whole period of time in here is a time where God gives grace and mercy to people who are not Jews. Up to this time, you had to become a Jew to find God's grace and mercy. And now God says, no, it's not just based upon the Jewish people. It's for anyone. anyone of any nationality can come into faith in Christ, and it's found in this mystery time right in here. The reason I place this at this point right here is because I think we are very, very, very close to the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the rapture. Now, I have placed it here at the before the tribulation occurs. There are good people who say that it will occur slightly after the midpoint of the tribulation, called the pre-wrath rapture. I think those are two of the things that are most important. If I happen to see the signing of a peace treaty, and I see the temple rebuilt, then I know I need to rechange where I think Jesus is coming, okay? But I'm going to hold on to this one right now until I see those signs. I'm going to hang on to it, okay? If I start to see something that says, you know what, I think we're past that point, I will start to look for that. But you need to be looking for that sign. First of all, the peace treaty, then the temple being rebuilt by someone. And then you're going to see this time in here, this 7 years is called the tribulation. The last from 3.5 years right here on this direction is called Jacob's trouble. It is the great tribulation. It's the spot that we're going to read about next, okay? Now, what Jesus was saying in these particular verses we just read, he said, when this happens, when this great tribulation begins, there is such urgency to find a place of safety that it is so important. You don't want to go after anything. You want to just flee. And he's talking to the Jewish people. Okay? He's talking to them. He says, go to Judea. Get out of your house. Move right now. Don't wait to see if something else is going to happen, because this was your sign. This was the sign. When the desecration occurs in the temple, that's the sign. Get out at that very moment. This is the next thing that Jesus says in verse 24. At that time. At what time? At the 3.5 year mark of the tribulation time, where we're moving now into the great tribulation, Jacob's trouble, the time of the Jewish people, the time when God is reaching out to his people again, to the Jewish people, to say, would you please believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God? And to do that, he's going to give great signs, but great anguish at the same time. And he says, at that time, after the anguish of these days, look for Jesus' second coming. Now, this is not the rapture. This is the second coming of Jesus Christ. His first advent, he came as a baby. The second advent, we're going to see he comes as a conquering king. And this is what he said. At that second time, at that last time, he says, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, we've heard people talk about the blood-red moons. We've talked about all that kind of stuff. And I would say to you, those are signs, but they are not this sign. This is at the end of this great tribulation time, at the end of that anguish time. He says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. The Son of Man was a title that Jesus made for himself. He called himself this title, the Son of Man. We know this is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. He's no longer coming as a baby. He's coming as a conquering king. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. So here he's talking about people, the elect, those people who were saved in that tribulation time. There we go. So at the end, that second coming of Christ right there is related to this statement in Revelation. Jesus giving to John says, then I saw the heavens open and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like the flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. The name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in their finest pure white linens, followed him on horses, and from his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod, and he will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like first wrath of God the Almighty, like the juice flowing from the winepress, and on his robe at his thigh was written in this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is saying, when you see these things happen, this is what's coming. Jesus is coming a second time as King and Kings. And so he says, be alert. Wake up. Be alert. Be watchful. And then he gives an illustration. So we've been talking about this illustration before. We talked about the fig tree, and here he uses the fig tree again. He says, now learn the lesson from the fig tree. What lesson do you know about fig trees from what you've already heard? When the leaves come out, what is going to happen? You're going to get fruit. Okay? He says, when a branch buds and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that what? Summer is near. Right now, when the winds, north winds howl, and everything's dry and dead around us, and all the harvest is brought in, what do you know is coming? Winter. Okay, he's saying the same thing. He's just saying, when you see things happening, you know what's going on, and he's saying, do the same thing with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wake up, be alert to the signs that are coming. He says the fig tree is like that. Why does he use that? Because that is something they understood. If he was here today, he would be talking about spring. Okay? But for them, he used the fig tree. That's all he's saying. In the same way, when you see all these things taking place, you can know that his return is very near. It's right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things have taken place. This generation that sees these things, that sees these signs, it will happen in their time. He says, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. In other words, he's saying, this is true and faithful. You can count on this. It's going to happen. However, no one knows the day or the hour of these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows, and since you don't know when the time will come, be on guard, stay alert. For you don't know when the master of the household will return. In the evening, at midnight, before the dawn or daybreak, he uses this idea that parents use all the time. You don't know when I'm coming home. Okay, you can have the house, but don't be doing anything that you shouldn't be doing, because I may come home early or I may come home late. Doesn't matter, but I'm going to be there. He says, watch out. Watch for the master to come back. Be alert. So what are we to be alert about? Now, being alert is not just knowing the signs. Now, some of you say, well, I'm not a prophecy expert. I don't expect you to be a prophecy expert, okay? I want you to be looking for two things right now. First of all, a peace treaty with the world. And secondly, the building of a temple. And right now, neither one of those things are on the block, as far as I can tell. The things that I'm looking at, I don't see that. I see things that are preloading for those things, but I don't see things happen. But be looking for those things. Second thing you need to be doing is being watchful. Now, watchful, I mean being active in the work that God has asked you to do. So if you go to work every day, do your work heartily as unto the Lord. Work hard. Okay? If you're retired, don't let your retirement eat you up. Okay? Do something in your retirement. Pray, spend some time with the Lord, be encouraging one another. If you're going to school, students, if you're going to school, go to school and do a good job. Don't just be lazy and just kind of say, oh, I'm just going to make it through. That's just not a great example of what it means to be watchful. What he's saying to us is, keep doing what you're doing with excellence. And watch the signs that are around you, that are going on around you, and find out what it is that you need to be watching for, and then be warned. You have been warned that this could happen at any time. Jesus says to us, be ready for my return. Don't be doing things that you shouldn't be doing, because I could come back today, or I can come back in a week from now. We don't know. This type of thing could happen instantaneously. It could happen just overnight. You could end up overnight seeing, here's a peace treaty that's developed, and then we're going to start the building of the temple, and you're going to say, wow, how did that happen? It could happen. So the warning Jesus gives us at the end of this kingdom values is this. Wake up, be alert, be ready. Wake up, be alert, and be ready. Watch for those signs. Work for the kingdom. Keep his values in front of you. Would you pray with me? Lord God, I'd ask that you would help me to be awake and alert and ready. I'd ask, Father, that you would help us as a church to do our work heartily as unto you, whether it is in a community or in serving other people or working at Bridge of Hope or volunteering in other locations. Whatever we are doing, Lord, would we do it with our whole hearts for you as though we are serving you. May we keep the kingdom values before us. And Father, may we not allow the things of the future to overcloud the judgment that we have, but that we would look carefully at these simple things to say these things have to happen. And when they do, Lord, we need to be ready. So, Father, I ask that you would help us to walk in your kingdom values in these next days. In the name of Jesus, we pray.